program and not this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
When the red, red robin comes bop, bop, bopping along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country or around the world if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And yeah, you're right, it's live radio again, and it's happening live right here as we speak. Because I'm not where I told you I'd be. I'm in the studio, which is kind of a good thing, because man, is it a miserable day out there. Can't even see the city of Seattle. It be raining. And, ooh, now that's interesting. A little... echo there in the background, huh? Gary, you got that straightened out?
I don't know.
I was just going to say,
where it came from. I don't know if I can straighten it out.
Oh, okay. Anyway, all bundled up. That would be Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill, is here. Morning, Gary.
Yeah, it's not warm outside.
No, it isn't, but I mean...
It's not warm in here either.
You have got how many? It looks like you got... Now, is that a double thing? You got two? What have you... You've got something on over your North Face.
I like to be warm.
Yeah, but I've never seen you so bundled up. And it was only 47 degrees outside when I drove down.
I know.
But, I mean, you have your North Face jacket under there. I think I saw North Face, right?
Yes.
And then you have a heavy sweater coat on top of that.
Yes.
And then you got another North Face parka on the back of your chair.
Uh-huh.
You know something that we don't know?
I could be stuck here for a while. You never know.
Oh, I hope not. All right, we'll continue. Because sooner or later, I have to explain to everybody why we're not doing what we're supposed
right,
to be doing.
Right, yeah, well, you missed
let's
me.
Get a, let's get all the players on board here. In the other room, as always, the lights are on and somebody is home. That's Animal World's call screener. Scotty Robertson is here. Morning, Scotty.
Good morning, Martha.
Now, you weren't as bundled up as Gary.
It's warmer in there.
I'm wearing thermos.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I guess everybody is dressed up more than I. And, of course, we actually have a roundtable going on here in the studio, because I will tell you right off the bat, we were supposed to be broadcasting live from Posado Safe Haven today. We were really looking forward to having our little holiday party in the woods with the animals and getting to know them all over again. But as life would have it, the live radio bug struck again this week. Kind of glad that Scotty and I were talking this morning. Kind of glad we're not out there in the cold, miserable rain this morning. But what happened is as all the ducks were lining up and we were making all the final arrangements for the show during this last week, and I think I told you all a couple months ago when Posado started having a presence on the show here that I had been asked to help them kind of repair their reputation, because over the years some stuff had gone down out there and there were some problems going on. And But the old regime is out, new is in. I know the people personally, the new CEO and all of that, and I really felt that I could help them with this because the problems had been addressed. At any rate, building up to this show this last week, I got flooded with some really angry email. Gary, it was pretty unbelievable. There are still some really angry people out there about what's gone on in the past, and some people that are really concerned as to whether or not the problems have really been addressed and will not happen again in the future. So we were going to, of course, address all of that today. Only live radio bug struck. And guess what happened? With the new CEO had some kind of emergency and had to leave the country. So all of a sudden, like, Matt's gone and no one else can address these issues. So we decided that we needed to postpone the remote broadcast because if I can't address these issues for you guys, then there's no point in doing this. So it has been postponed until we don't know when, because until Matt gets back in the country, we will regroup, but we will regroup. So that being the case, I'm like, not too long to showtime, and now what are we going to do? Well, all of a sudden things were clear, because, you know, last week was the first Sunday of the month. And that has been traditionally Vet Sunday here on Animal World for like forever. But something said don't do it last week, and we did other things. You know, we did Janice from NuPro was here, and we talked about all those great supplements and Invisible Fence. We did all kinds of other stuff, and I didn't know why until this week, and the Posada remote fell apart, and then it was like, oh, I know why we didn't do Vet Sunday last week, so we can do Vet Sunday this week. And so, bless his heart, right across the table from me, I'm so delighted to say, Dr. Bill Burlingame from Quilceta Veterinary Clinic in Marysville is here. Good morning, Dr. Bill.
Good morning.
Oh, we get that wonderful voice.
I just
got to
fill the breach.
Yeah. But I'm so delighted that you have agreed to join us, because not only do we get to listen to your wonderful voice on the air, because, you know, everybody loves you.
Thank you.
Yeah, all you have to do is just open that mouth. Say anything, doesn't matter. Oh, man. And not only has he got a great voice, but he also is a great veterinarian. And I have to say, well, thank you for coming in and joining us. And,
my pleasure.
I'm really excited about what we're going to do today, and we'll get into those details here in a moment. But I do want you to know that Dr. Bill is my own personal veterinarian, which I was thinking about it, Bill, and Scotty asked me this morning, you know, that how, you know, you're up in Marysville, and how the heck did I get connected with you up in Marysville, and how are you my vet? And so I started thinking when I met you, and I think you'll have to tell me, maybe because I think CRS is cleared the field at the moment, but I know you suffer from that too from sometimes. But do you remember? I think we met at a seminar, and I think it was an Ian Billinghurst seminar about raw food diets.
That's right.
And I'm trying. That's got to have been at least 15 years ago, if not 20. Do you have any? How long ago was that, do you think?
It's a good number, 15 to 20.
Yeah. I remember. Because I think it was after Dr. Billinghurst's first book, Feed Your Dog a Bone, Give Your Dog a Bone, had come out, probably. And he's an Australian veterinarian and kind of, you know, the guru of raw food diets for dogs. And when that book came out, they brought him over to the States, and that was it. And I remember you were wearing a pullover kind of red ish sweater.
Jeez, you gotta be kidding me.
I did. No, I remember. Yeah, I remember. Because I.
That's not fair.
No, I really. I remember exactly what you were wearing, because I was so impressed. But there were a lot of veterinarians there. There were a lot of professional people at this seminar. But I was struck immediately about what a nice man you are.
Thank you.
How do you like that?
Yeah, boy, I don't remember that occasion. I remember being there, and
And you don't remember thinking, what a nice woman she is.
I was overwhelmed by everything.
I see. But I'll tell you, folks, and he is just the nicest man. You didn't immediately become my veterinarian there, but that's where our relationship began. And I think but it can't have been too long after that that you started as an Animal World vet.
I came down with John Brune.
Yeah, you and John Brune would do Animal World. That's when back in our Como days.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking over all these years, I have worked for, worked with, and had as personal veterinarians in some way, shape, or form, a lot of really good vets.
Well, Mike Saluski comes to mind right away.
Yeah, I'm even going back to my days early on, because I started in Madison Park, and I learned so much from Dr. Pierce, and Leo Reyes was one of the first orthopedic surgeons, and I helped him set up the Animal Orthopedic Clinic eons ago, and was his surgical tech for 6 years. And then I got hired away from him, Dr. Canfield, Green Lake Animal Hospital. And then Fran Mugley came up, who had been in. And then, of course, Mike Saluski and Richard Panzer, all kinds of great vets. Where I got hooked up with you so strongly, I think, is when Dr. Al Pluckner's book first came out, Pets at Risk came out, and got Al on the show. Then needed testing done, and we were trying to find veterinarians that would do the testing and the protocol. And you were like one of the only ones around who was open and minded enough to even look at Al's work.
Well, my interest there was the effect on the immune system.
Yeah.
Which has a devastating effect on the immune system, and I'd already kind of been interested in that area. And I think it was just a natural blend of what I'd been doing already and Al's work.
Yeah.
So it was an obvious direction to go.
Well, and I have to say, so at that point, of course, I was testing all of my animals and ended up with a number of the animals that have the Pluckner syndrome and treatment and all of that. And as time would have it, I was just seeing Dr. Bill more and more with my own animal friends. And I have to tell you, I hope you never retire, because without question, I really, really absolutely believe that you are one of the finest vets in practice around here today. I mean, your integrity level is very high. You come from a point of no ego. You are always looking at new and different and innovative things. And I've never heard an angry or nasty or judgmental comment come out of your mouth. You're a great guy.
Thanks. I think there's a lot of great veterinarians in the area. There's a bunch of really bright people. It's just you got to find them.
Yeah, I'd say that certainly there are a lot of great veterinarians around, but I believe that I have found the best, and that I think is you. And so I really appreciate you coming, and we've got some fun stuff, some neat stuff planned to talk about today. We, of course, are going to do Vet Sunday as we normally do. I've got some Al Pluckner report for you, because I've got some updates from him. We're going to start with... I don't even know you want to get me started, but we've got some animals in the news, a press release that is going to set me off, as already has. And we've got some good news about animals, and we will run fall into winter tips at 10, and current events about 10:50, 10:55 as usual. And we also have a Robin Alexis Soul Spa free one-year membership available to one of you lucky listeners. If you are not familiar with Robin Alexis, she is the host of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Airs at noon here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150 on Wednesdays. And she's a very gifted psychic, mystic, healer, Reiki master, you name it. Robin is incredible, and she's created this phenomenal soul spa. And the reason I love the soul spa is because of the energy portals that she has channeled through on this website that bring healing into your home 24/7. And there are four different portals to choose from, also meditations that happen during the month. And if you are a current member of the soul spa, you're not eligible to win the one-year giveaway. But if you're new to the soul spa, wow, you're listening to the show, go ahead and pop on Robin's website, www.robinalexis.com. Check out the Soul Spa, see if it's something you might be interested in. And then if you would like to win the one-year free subscription, all you have to do is call Scotty and talk him out of it. So you can give him a call. Local numbers, 425-373-5527. And toll-free is 888-298-5569. And, of course, anytime during the show on General Principles, you can send us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Okay, I guess what are we going to start with? How about, and I'll have to just, I just have to tell you, because when I sound a little strange, we got a new clock in here today. And it doesn't have seconds on it, and it's really bothering me, Gary. Because I don't know what time it is now. I mean, I know what time it is, but I don't know what the seconds are, so it's very hard to time. Of course, I'm not usually on time anyway, but
right.
It is kind of critical, though, when we end the show.
Yeah, well, it was the other one went down, so this was the replacement.
Well, you'd think they'd come up with one that had seconds on it or something. I mean, what are they? It's not really, never mind. Okay. I don't know if you guys want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. How about, because there is some excellent good news, how about we start with the yucky stuff and move our way forward to the good stuff? Is that okay with everybody?
Sure.
I would move through it rapidly.
Because this just has me fried. I mean, you rarely hear me. I mean, I don't go off very often.
Should I be close to the dumb button? Is that the warning?
Well, I don't think I'm going to go that far.
Okay, well, I just wasn't sure.
But this, I it's heartbreaking. It also is a screaming red flag that we need to educate our police forces. The Humane Society, you know, Seattle, Bellevue Humane Society sent out a press release 2 days ago related to a local news story. Did y'all hear about the Newfoundland that escaped from its yard and was killed by our wonderful police force? I'll read you the press release. The Seattle Humane Society has asked city officials in Des Moines to conduct an investigation into the November 7th incident in which police shot and killed a dog named Rosie, who got loose from her yard. Judging from news coverage on the case and reports from eyewitnesses, this killing appears wholly unnecessary. We believe city officials owe the community an investigation and an explanation for the police officers' actions. According to news reports, police and animal control officers were called when the dog was seen in traffic near her home. Now, Rosie's a big black Newfoundland. Officers chased the Newfoundland, tried to use a catching device, I'm sure would be one of those noose poles, to grab her, and used a taser gun to stun her to no avail. The dog allegedly growled at police and bared her teeth before running away. You know, as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I will tell you that there isn't anything wrong with dogs that growl and bare their teeth. It's normal canine behavior. And especially if you're lost and you're frightened, you're being chased with a noose and you've been tased, of course you're going to be a little frightened and defensive. Barring your teeth and growling is a warning to say, I'm scared for my life. Leave me alone, and then the dog bails. That is not an aggressive dog that's going to take somebody down. That's a defensive dog that's frightened. Anyway, here's continuing the press release. Rosie allegedly ran into a fenced backyard and hid in the bushes, and the woman who lived at the residence locked the gate behind her so she could not escape. This is where the story should have ended. A trained animal control officer should have been called to the scene to retrieve the dog. The woman told reporters that the dog did not present a danger to her, her dog, or her family. According to news reports, police showed up 20 minutes later, went into the backyard, and shot the dog 4 times, killing it. Gary, this was in your neighborhood, by the way.
Yeah. When did this happen?
November 7th. A police officer told the press that the officer shot the dog believed lethal force was necessary. The resident of the house told reporters that Rosie never came out of the bushes and that the killing was wrong. With the information we have at this time, we agree. And I'll tell you, I wholeheartedly agree with the Humane Society and stand with them 100%. The Humane Society works closely with the public to help ensure that tragedies like this do not befall the pets in our community. Rosie should have had a collar and a license so that her owners could be located. She did not, and that made the task of capturing her and getting her home more difficult. But sometimes animals get loose from even the most responsible and vigilant guardians. Shooting a dog who is cowering in the bushes in fear and in an enclosed backyard is indefensible when so many other humane outcomes were possible. Hear, hear. I totally agree. Support the Humane Society 100%. This needs to be investigated. And I'm not one that says, you know, well, we got to string up the guy or the gal, whoever the police officer was that shot the dog. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is if, and I'm wondering how much does this have to do with the cutbacks at King County Animal Care and Control? And were animal control officers not available to go at this time? And how does that all play in there? And if the police department are going to end up dealing with more of these dogs, we need to start educating them as to how to deal with these situations. Because it absolutely was totally uncalled for. There you go. Anybody else want to chime in on this? No, well, it's not all speak at once.
I think that pretty much says it all. I'm sure there's a lot more to that story, but it's not right.
Well, you know, I saw the owners of the dog interviewed. I've seen the owner of the gal of the backyard that contained the dog. Seen pictures of the area. I've seen her interviewed. And have no reason to believe that that isn't absolute. I wouldn't have read it if I didn't think it was it was true and the details were right on. It's hard to believe that that's what really went down. But it certainly sounds like that's the case. And it certainly says we need. And I can remember, see, years ago, the Seattle Animal Control hired me to come down and educate their animal control officers about this kind of stuff. In the recent years, Colleen from the Academy of Canine Behavior has done a whole presentation for animal control officers and so forth around the areas on a yearly basis, an educational thing, which has been phenomenal. That type of program needs to be done for police officers if they're going to be doing more of this work.
Especially if there's cutbacks.
Exactly.
Even more so.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you can't. I mean, even the nicest dogs, you go chasing them around with strangulation nooses and start tasing them, they're going to get defensive on you. And that doesn't mean they're bad dogs and need to die, for heaven's sakes. Okay.
Okay, good news?
No, not yet. An advisory group recommends killing more sea lions that have been dining on salmon at the Columbia River's dam, known as the Bonneville Buffet. Let's see. The task force that met in Portland this week concluded Wednesday that the states of Washington and Oregon should shoot the California sea lions on the spot rather than trapping and killing them by lethal injection. One member of the task force, Oregon Anglers Executive Director Dennis Riche, says if they saw the Bonneville Dam as a dangerous place, they would leave. A Humane Society official, Sharon Young, was the only member of the task force to vote against shooting. Gee, go figure on that one. The recommendation goes to NOAA for further review. I'm not going to... The last thing, now, And actually, this is sort of good news. I forgot that this goes in the good news department. The front page of Wednesday's Seattle Times, Thoroughbreds Rescue. Did you see that article? They actually, so for any of you that think, Dr., but we could talk about this, you know, the fact that we've shut down the slaughterhouses in the States, if you think that stopped the slaughter of horses, and it hasn't, it's just made it worse for them, because now, I mean, the meat buyers still buy them, they're still sold at auction. This front page article on the Times is about the horses that are sold for meat at the Enumclaw livestock auction. And they found, the rescuers that tend to pay attention found Bucky B. Lucky on the chopping block. He's a grandson of Seattle Slough. But they rescued him, and they rescued a lot of these thoroughbreds. So it's a really nice article about the rescuers that saved some of these horses. But you may want to pull it up and do a little reading, because if you think the slaughter of horses has stopped, it's not. And like I said, that what they're put through in these trucks to caravan them is not good. And I know, Bill, you and I had talked about this, I think, years ago when we were the efforts to ban and close down the slaughterhouses. And I think it was the Veterinary Medical Association was one of the few rational voices that was against shutting down the houses specifically for these reasons that, well, A, what's going to happen to all the horses when they can't go to slaughter? Because there aren't miraculously going to be all these people that want to feed them and take care of them. And, of course, there aren't. And what's going to happen when they have to truck them even farther to go to slaughterhouses? That's going to be even harder for them.
Well, it is a reality, and we need to provide some humane options. And I'll bet you there's all kinds of horses being dumped out in national forests on logging roads and things like that, and they're mm-hmm. just starving.
Yep.
So yep. It's going to happen, but it just needs to happen. If it needs to, it's got to be humanely and limit the...
Yep.
The stress.
Okay. Where are we now? All right. The let's see. New. Then did you hear in Gig Harbor the woman that got attacked by the bear? Did you hear about this story?
Briefly.
The woman was walking last Sunday morning, walking her dog, in a wooded area, and her dog was not leashed. When a bear appeared, what did the dog do? The dog chased after the bear when they encountered it, and the woman went to retrieve the dog. She got between the dog and the bear attacked her.
Oops.
Yeah. The woman was later found by another person walking in the area, and she's doing well at Tacoma Hospital. The dog survived. So then, of course, they set out traps to trap the bear, saying that now that it's killed it injured a human, that they have to kill it. But apparently the traps were baited with donuts and maple syrup and vanilla and all kinds of good things, and they didn't catch a bear. And the rest of this story will happen in just a moment, because it leads us. It will be our first story, because it's time for the best good news about animals. Well, let's hope this works. Man. I mean, I don't even see a crack where it could start cracking through, Gary. You can't even see Mercer Island, for heaven's sakes. Ooh, it sure would. Okay, so the first good news story is that there is now a campaign to save the bear, which I also totally agree with. If you're going to be walking in bear territory and you cannot control your dogs, do not walk them off leash. Because if they're going after the bear and you go in there to try to save your dog from the bear, of course you're going to get whacked by the bear. But it isn't the bear's fault. So apparently, There's a Save the Bear campaign asking the Department of Fish and Wildlife not to trap and kill this bear. Dozens of emails have been sent to the agency pleading for the bear's life. And a spokesman says that they believe the bear should be killed because experience shows that a bear that attacks a person is likely to do so again, and they want to test it for rabies. Well, you know, I mean, I can understand that, but I mean, if the bear had rabies, it'd still be running around trying to kill people. It really wasn't doing that. The bear remains at large, and the traps have not been successful. And now, here's the good news. The Department of Wildlife sergeant says so much time has passed since Sunday, it would be hard to determine if a trapped bear is the one that injured the woman now. So I think they're going to give up the ghost. So woohoo! The bear gets to live. Okay. Now, whoops, the next best news story, just ripped that one in half. This got Scotty all excited this week. Did you see the latest research on how cats drink water?
No.
Oh, you didn't see this?
No.
Okay, well, how do you think cats drink? Well, I mean, you know, they stick their tongue in the bowl and lap it up. But I remember the last research I thought said that we always thought their tongues went down and cupped forward to bring the water up. But then the last research I remember reading said their tongue curved backwards to bring up the water. What do you think, Doc? Do you know?
I would think that the water is carried as a layer on the surface of the tongue, and it probably wouldn't matter if it's curled up or curled down. You know, all the little spines they got on their tongue.
Well, that's what they thought. But that you're more right than wrong. But the little spines don't have anything to do with it. it's taken four highly qualified engineers and a bunch of integral equations to figure it out. But we now know how cats drink, very elegantly and not at all the way you might suppose. Cats lap water so fast that the human eye can't follow what's happening. So they had to use high-speed photography. And it's actually kind of a funneling sort of thing. What happens is that the cat's tongue, the cat darts his tongue, curving the upper side downwards so that the tip lightly touches the surface of the water, and it's the smooth part of the tip. The tongue is then pulled upward at high speed, drawing a column of water behind it. Just at the moment the gravity finally overcomes the rush of water and starts to pull it down, snap, the cat's jaws close over the jet of water, and it swallows. The cat laps four times a second, too fast for the human eye to see it. And it moves at the speed of 1 meter per second. Now the engineers, they also filmed large cats at zoos and all that kind of stuff, and they apparently all do it the same way, but they actually somehow go so fast it creates a little funnel sort of thing. And anyway, and they have photographs, so if you want to take a look at that, it's kind of cool.
Physics at work.
Yep.
I wonder if the video's on YouTube. It's got to be.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. I know what I'm going to be doing at the office tomorrow.
Yeah, looking at cats drink.
I'm going to watch cats drink all day.
Yeah, cool. All right. Okay, now, the winner of the best good news about animals. This is very cool. And there's still time to take advantage of this. Polar bear experts offer live webcasts from the tundra during bear migration. Thousands of viewers from around the world are expected to log on to Tundra Connections this week to participate in free live webcasts from the tundra of Western Hudson Bay, featuring leading experts on wild polar bears via remote video cameras. Over 30 segments will be broadcast from onboard Buggy 1, a tundra vehicle that has been specially equipped with high-speed internet cameras and stabilizers for beaming live clips of polar bears in the wild. During the video conferencing from the mobile classroom, participants can ask questions of experts in real time. Teacher lesson plans are also available, and all of this, folks, is free. So you got kids in classrooms. The teachers can get these lessons plans. You can tune in to these webcasts, and it's all for free. The Buggy One roams a network of established trails within the Manitoba Conservation. The cameras are mounted on the outside. And the experts break from their prepared talks to comment on what the viewers are seeing. The audience is often treated to polar bears sparring, mothers with cubs, and curious bears who may nuzzle up to the camera. And this is one, the Tundra Connections is one of the many programs coordinated by Polar Bears International from Churchill, Manitoba, in October and November. It's one of the most innovative programs bringing science and education right into the living rooms and classrooms around the world. If you are interested, I'm going to tell you that there are webcasts on November 15th. There's three on the 16th, and then all next week, the 15th through the 18th, 3 days of next week, there'll be the classroom, and then the last week is the 18th through the 27th of November. So if you're interested in participating, I'm going to give you a website that you can go to get all the free stuff. And it is www.polarbearsinternational.org. polarbearsinternational.org/tundra-connections-webcast. polarbearsinternational.org/tundra-connections-webcast. And if you just Googled Tundra Connections, I bet you'd come up with it all. So, very cool. All right. That'll wrap us up for the news. So there was good stuff in the news. All right. How about, should we do a little Dr. Plechner update?
Oh, yeah.
Because for those of you, you know, for what? It was, Dr. Plechner was Vet Sunday, every Vet Sunday for, I don't know how many years, six years, 7 years? I don't know, it was a long time. So we were doing our best to get the word out about what Dr. Al has discovered, the Plechner syndrome and the endocrine immune imbalance and all of that. And then Dr. Al was no longer available to do the shows on Sunday. A lot of this update is triggered because, as I often do, send him an email to say, hey, any chance you can get the first Sunday of December off to join us again. And unfortunately, Dr. Al says, I wish I could get back on board, but at this time I cannot. And I will tell you, he has shared quite honestly that it's all financial. He's, you know, with the economy the way it is and the big properties he had up in Idaho, he needs to work. So he's down there earning money to pay the bills and unfortunately has to work on Sundays. But he does have some good information and that I'm going to give you here in a minute. And also I just want to let you know that the good thing about this Fit Sunday is that, Dr. Bill, you really got on the bandwagon with Dr. Al's stuff and not just looking at it because of your interest in the immune system and so forth, but I think you, like me, realized pretty quickly on that he was onto something.
It's definitely an important tool in the tool belt.
Yeah.
It's not the answer for everything, but it's a big answer.
And I would venture to say, and I don't know this for sure because I don't know all the vets that might be doing the protocol around the country or around the world, but I would imagine, and it feels pretty right on for me to say, I would imagine that you deal with more Plechner syndrome cases on a regular basis than any other vet besides Dr. Al, and that you have more experience with it.
Well, that's a good guess.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, because you have become kind of the Plechner headquarters up here anyway, and at least we know that you can do the testing and the protocol, and you powwow with Dr. Al all the time, don't you, about cases and stuff and so forth. Anyway, let's see. So that's the good news, folks. If you have any questions about the Plechner syndrome or pets at risk and all of that good stuff, you can give us a call today. And Let's see. The good news from Dr. Al is, did you know, I didn't know this, but Dr. Al's book, Pets at Risk from Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, is the number one veterinary book on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. He told me that a few weeks ago. He was kind of proud of that. Good for him.
Yeah. Now he's working on the second book, apparently is done. The co-author, or the guy that's authoring the second book for him, is Kirk Nims, N-I-M-S. And apparently Amazon is going to carry this new book, and they say they will have it available in mid-January. It's 350 pages, revising diagnosis and treatment for pets and their owners with diseases from allergy, autoimmunity to cancer. And the book is called the Kirk Nims book will be called 50 Years of Healing.
First I've heard that.
Yeah. And then there's going to be another book written by David Spangenberg on Dr. Al's life and times. Dr. Al says it's less serious, but still a value. So a book about Dr. Al's life, that'll be interesting read, don't you think?
Yeah.
David Spangenberg. And the name of that book is Against All Odds, Given Up for Dead. So who do you think's given up for dead? Would that be Al or the patients he was working with?
Oh, never. Al, heck no. He's
I think
gone.
It probably means the patients he was working
patient.
With, you think? Oh. Yeah, because, yeah. Okay, so if you want to check with Amazon to find out when the books will be available, it's the Kirk Nims book, 50 Years of Healing, that's going to come out in January on Amazon, so you can check with them about that. So there you go. That's our updates for Dr. Al. Woo-hoo. I think what we will do here is take care of our advertisers and sponsors, because without them, there's no us. So we'll do that, and then we will come back and get started with Vet Sunday. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage.
Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including three distinct certification courses in animal massage. Short workshops in animal massage and other related topics are also available.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703. Go online to nwsam.com for registration details. Posadas Safe Haven rescues and rehabilitates cats, dogs, and farm animals that may not have another chance. Money is often the deciding factor between life and death for an animal in need. Wolf, a sweet older dog at a local shelter, was deemed unadoptable and scheduled to be euthanized. Posadas Safe Haven found him just in time. Today, Wolf is healed and waiting to find his forever home. Please consider adopting one of their rescued animals or making a donation. For more information, visit PosadoSafeHaven.org or call 360-793-9393.
Since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now check out their website. You can go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Jones & Company logo on the home page, or go to JonesAndCompanyPets.com. You'll find out everything that's on sale, which is usually everything but the kitchen sink, so it's always worth a trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue, right up the street from Dr. Bill's place, and you can give them a call if you like at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're on the downside of hour number one of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. If you just tuned in expecting us to be out at Posado today, well, that's where we're supposed to be, but we had to postpone due to unforeseen circumstances. We'll let you know as soon as we get that rescheduled. But we are doing Vet Sunday today. Dr. Bill Burlingame is here from Quilceta Veterinary Clinic in Marysville, and we will have open phone lines from now on. If you have an animal medical care question you would like to discuss with Dr. Bill, you can give us a call anytime. Local numbers 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. And you can shoot us an email anytime during the live broadcast to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. AnimalWorldLive@hotmail.com. All right, Dr. Bill, we started out talking a little bit about Dr. Pluckner's stuff, and I don't imagine that you know off the top of your head how many Pluckner cases that you've treated over the last 6-7 years. Got a guess, do you think?
A couple hundred, I'm guessing. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that the other day as I wonder, I keep copies of all the different tests that I've done. I haven't mm-hmm. treated all the animals that I've tested, but that's got to be a couple hundred animals.
Yeah, I would say at least that.
Which is a bunch.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, now this it's a basic endocrine immune imbalance that involves thyroid and cortisol and the missing part that we weren't familiar with until Al's work came out is the high estrogen level. Mm-hmm. And of course we're testing antibodies, but it is the it underlies a lot of chronic disease and illness.
Well, absolutely. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I can say that just about every animal that I've tested that has cancer mm-hmm. has skin disease or intestinal symptoms or behavior issues, just to name a few things.
Right.
I think every animal that I've tested had the Pluckner imbalance in those categories. That is huge.
Yeah.
It just turns my head every time.
Well, do you remember way back when, this would be probably 6 years ago or so, that when Al started doing the show, you got on board, we started doing testing.
Well, it was your cats that turned my head.
Well, that's for my Abyssinians.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had chronic tritrichomonas infections and treponema, which are two different intestinal parasites.
Everybody's saying, what?
Yeah,
say
little,
that again?
Little wigglies in the gut.
Okay.
And we did all the two or three different traditional therapies mm-hmm. for tritrichomonas and treponema, and none of them worked.
Right.
And
well, yeah, because you had my G-man on antibiotics and all kinds of stuff. He was getting pills.
He definitely
from
had
breakfast for a long time.
He had no deficiencies of any drugs. That's right. And what was the most amazing to me is measuring the IgA level, which is the basic immune molecule or immune protein that covers our mucous membranes. When your cat's IgA levels got to normal in the gut, those parasites went away.
They did.
And it still gives me goosebumps. Mm-hmm. It's so simple. And yet and it was in all the cats. Mm-hmm. And they were not on medications at the time.
Right.
We'd given up on meds, and we said, let's just wait for the immune system to get back to work, and I'll be diddly.
Now, do you also remember how horrible their mouths were? Now, because Abyssinians typically have terrible gingivitis and gum disease and all of that.
We did numerous extractions because they weren't savable.
And then my Jilpy had, what is it, the stomatitis? Mm-hmm. Is that? And that's a condition. It's an awful condition. It's where their gums get really, really painful. You couldn't even touch his mouth. It hurt so bad.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of, traditional medicine doesn't have a lot of answers for that.
There's a lot of therapies. They all have variable responses.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the Plechner imbalance is getting to the root of the problem.
Yeah, because with my little Jilps, it was just a matter of getting him on medication, getting his endocrine immune panel, you know, his hormonal levels balanced, and it all went away. He never had a problem with it again.
Right. So it takes time. It's not a fast therapy, but it is the basis of everything. You still got to, if you have infections, you have inflammations, you still have to address that because you have to support the patient while their immune system is coming back online.
Yeah, so, now I know what I was starting to say was that way back when we started doing all this testing and all these patients, and of course a lot of people listening to Dr. Allen's show, reading his book, saying, boy, it sounds like my animal has this, where do I go? Well, most of them are coming to you to have the testing done. And you remember that early on, we were looking at all the test results, and we're thinking, crap, does every single animal have it? Because every animal we were testing had the imbalance.
It's a Bandit's owner asked me a couple of weeks ago, have I ever tested a normal dog? So most of them flunked the test.
Yeah. And so now I know the estimates, depending on who I talked to on the air at the time back then, the estimates were anywhere from 50% to 90% of dogs, cats, horses, and humans have this imbalance. Because, and Scotty just brought a note in here, he thinks it was Loretta that called, but wanted to know if Dr. Plechner's endocrine immune imbalance, if it applies to humans. And the answer, Loretta, is yes, it does. And in fact, Dr. Al has he's got a little human compendium of articles that he's written about how this imbalance does apply to humans. And actually, we have a number of listeners that, because there's a naturopath in the area that does human testing and that are on the protocol.
Well, the lectures that I've attended on the human side looking at adrenal disease, they track a lot of the same things. It's just on the human side, they tend to treat totally differently.
Yeah.
So they're into more supporting the adrenal tissue and working from that aspect using herbs and natural things. On the human side, they are less apt to use the oral steroids or the injectable steroids. And there's, you know, I'm looking into that. I think there's opportunity there for us because a lot of people are nervous about using the cortisone replacement, and I can understand that. It gets a lot of bad press.
Yeah.
But it's in mammals.
And so, you know, we started thinking, well, geez, every animal we're testing has the imbalance. Are there any animals out there that don't have it? And then you and I were thinking, well, of course, now every animal we were testing had some kind of symptomology.
Right.
You know, they either had behavior issues like fear or aggression, or they had skin disease or cancer or, you know, gum disease, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so you and I said, well, God, maybe we should start testing some normal animals.
You
remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I think you tested your dog.
I tested Murray, and he was normal at the time.
Yep. And remember, we tested my Scooty, my oldest Abyssinian. He was normal at the time. Mm-hmm. And we tested my feral cat, Mohaka, and she was normal. And then, well, I guess we did some other ones. But we were able to determine that there are animals that don't have the imbalance. Now, it was interesting because I think, like with both of my cats, that were normal when we first started testing them, I continued to test, like with Scooty, my Ruddy Abyssinian, his dad, Cat, Sirius, who was his father, died suddenly of some kind of liver horrendous thing at 12 years of age. And Scooty was so much like his dad, I didn't want the same thing to happen to him. So we did EI once, and sure enough, it was like he was about 11 and a half. His hormone values started to tank. So he's back on, he went on the protocol. And he's still with me. And he is now, would you believe, Bill, 15 and a half.
How long ago was it that we diagnosed the...
The biliary cyst adenomas. Mm-hmm. And that I think, you know, if, I told you that a good reason, you know, we talk about going in to veterinarians on a regular basis. We don't recommend vaccinating as often and as much as we used to, but there's still good reason to get your animal friends into the vet every year, because my Scooty's a classic example. I won't forget that, because I was up at your office with Scooty, and we were just in on general principles, you know, a little check over, and you're checking him, and you're feeling his belly, and I see your face just goes like white.
Yeah.
And you look at me, and all he says out of his mouth, all that comes out of his mouth, folks, is, "We're taking an X-ray." And I'm like, "Oh no, God, oh yeah." And
he had a mass in his liver, so yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oops.
Yep. And then it was off for ultrasound.
Dr. Kramer did a good job ultrasounding him.
Yep. Yep. And Scooty was a champ through all of that. Mm-hmm. And we determined he had a condition, what's called biliary cyst adenomas, which are like fluid-filled cysts that grow in the liver. Mm-hmm. And there was an option to possibly try to surgically remove the largest one, but there's like lots of little ones. That's like a little weed garden in the liver. They're all over the place. And Scooty, you know, when I talked to animals, of course, and Scooty said that he wasn't concerned about getting through the surgery. He just wasn't sure he would be able to fully recover, and unless we could guarantee him that he would recover and have really good quality life for a long time, he wasn't interested in doing the surgery. And of course, we couldn't guarantee him that, so we elected not to. And it's been now, I mean, we thought he was going to be gone like in 6 months or something.
Just underlines the importance of a good physical exam.
Yep, and let's see, so it was, I think it was in June, May or June, not this last year, but the year before. Yeah, I think it was in May, so it's been a year and a half. And he's still going now. So we haven't re-x-rayed or done ultrasound again, basically because Scooty hates to travel and it's really stressful for him to go anywhere. So I kind of said, all right, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to love each other for as long as we can. Well, we're still loving each other, and he's doing better, and he's done a long time now. Dr. Bill, you put him on transfer factor.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to explain what that is all about.
Yeah. We'll have to also talk about, we have some new research data as far as using immune agents like transfer factor and building the response to vaccines.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting.
Oh, that's
research.
Right. You were telling me about. Well, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll talk about transfer factor and what you're finding about immune response after we turn the hour around. So we put him on transfer factor, and then Dr. Mike Saluski prescribed some Chinese herbs. It's a status transforming formula, and he gets a half of one of those pills twice a day, and he gets the transfer factor powder in canned food, and he's doing great.
Motoring along.
Yeah, if we didn't know there was something going on, we wouldn't know by suspecting him. So who knows how long it's going to be. At any rate, I am majorly impressed with you, Dr. Bill, and your openness and the fact that you are so curious about things, which is going to lead us to our discussion for the rest of the show. As we get into things, we're going to be talking about newer, more innovative treatments and therapies and gadgets and stuff. Mm-hmm. I have one right here on the desk as the show goes on. But I think we might as well start with where we are right now, which will be the transfer factor and the immune system about that, because we'll also talk about Little Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks.
No.
Because I did elect to vaccinate my kitten, although not in the traditional forms. She got a traditional vaccine. She got two of them a month apart. We did the first one like about 9 weeks, and the second one would be like at 13 plus weeks. But you didn't give her a full dose.
We snuck in a lower dose.
Yeah, yeah.
With permission of the owner.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, yeah. Because that's what, you know, Dr. Al, his recommendations also are sometimes with smaller animals, you don't give them the full dose, which totally makes sense to me. But anyway, Sophie's doing great. And let us, since I can't see seconds, Gary, are we close enough to the top of the hour to be on time here? Okay, now we are going to close out the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. It's Vet Sunday with Dr. Bill Burlingame is here.